Do you remember the old governor's residence at Marble Hill? It was burnt down in a bushfire in 1955, and it just stood there as a ruin. And then a few years ago, work started to restore it. Well, Ian Hamilton is the director of Arcuate Architecture. Have I said that right, Ian?
Yes, that's correct.
I think I asked you last time you came into the studio, didn't I? Arcuate Architecture. And Ian's bag is basically restoring gorgeous old buildings. And Ian, thank you for coming in.
No problem.
Now, I think we last spoke to you about Notre Dame.
That's correct.
And what was going on there after this gorgeous cathedral was burnt, and the sort of work that would be necessary, because you're in the business of restoring old buildings, and this thing at Marble Hill, well, it was an absolute treasure, wasn't it?
It was. Beautiful building.
Most of us, you know, we've grown up, and it's only ever been a ruin. Describe for us the Marble Hill Governor's Summer Residence.
It is a neo-Gothic designed summer house, essentially, but the scale of it is enormous. It's a big, big house, but it's quite an austere design. It's got many, many rooms and some very, very grand spaces inside, but it's a relatively simple country house, effectively.
And it was, two stories? There are some windows peeking out of the roof, and then there's a tower. Just how big was this thing?
Oh, I mean, it's the scale of the house is enormous. If you think of any grand house, and then imagine it 50% bigger again in terms of the ceiling heights are all enormous. The rooms are really large inside. It's very deceptive, because when you approach the house, you think, oh, it's an interesting looking relatively. It's an ordinary looking house in some regards, but it's actually huge when you get close up to it. It's a big scale of a building.
Do you remember the first time you saw it?
I do, because you approach it up the driveway, and it suddenly reveals itself as you reach the top of the driveway. It opens out in front of you, and it even as a ruin, even without a roof on it, it's a magnificent scale of a building.
What's the nearest town?
You're Adelaide, Summertown, and Norton Summit, all these villages are close by.
Right. So it was built in 1879, burnt down in bushfire in 1955, and it basically stood there as a ruin for the next, more than half a century?
It did. And interestingly, the government thought it was dangerous when it first burned down, and they went in with bulldozers with a view to pulling the ruin down. Mm-hmm. But the local people stepped in and stopped the government from doing that. So there were large chunks of the building that were pulled down that we've had to reconstruct completely. The northeast corner, there was a big bay window that was pulled down. Part of the adjacent wall was pulled down. The top of the tower was removed. So it had started to be demolished, and the local people who were passionate about the building stepped in and stopped its destruction. And after that, the National Trust eventually took control of it on behalf of the government, and they consolidated the ruin and then had it was open to the public. Many people in South Australia will remember having visited it when it was controlled by the National Trust.
As a ruin.
So you could go in, there were walking decks throughout, so you could go and see the spaces inside it, but there were no floors, and there was no roof. But there were signs saying this was the dining room, this was the living room. It was wonderful. It was wonderful to see it.
I wish I'd been there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I missed that opportunity.
That
one. Okay, so you get called in when?
I started working on it 6 years, just maybe slightly over 6 years ago, when I was with Greve Gillette Anderson Architects. They were engaged initially. When I set up in practice 3 years ago, the job stayed with me when I set up in my own practice. Though Steve Greve of Greve Gillette Anderson has remained involved, but essentially I've been running the project for the last 3 years.
Well, okay, because about 5-6 years ago, the state government sold the building, the ruin, but it was on the base, and it sold it to a private owner.
That's correct.
But it was on the promise that, look, we're selling you the land, and I think they've got a, and the building, the ruin. I mean, they got a pretty good deal, I expect. But on the promise that you restore it within, was it 5 years?
There was a requirement under the heritage agreement that was signed between the private owner and the government that certain conditions had to be met. And one of those conditions was the house had to be, from the time that it started on site, it had to be substantially complete within 5 years. And the other thing is that it had to be built true to its original external appearance before the fire. So it had to look like it did before the fire, externally, but internally there was a degree of, there's a degree of flexibility because it is a private residence, and therefore the new owners could do inside to some extent what they wanted,
yes,
but externally it had to look like it looked before the fire.
Had to take us back to 1879.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
What's it look like now?
Oh, it's absolutely magnificent. I mean, we've had to, with the, strangely for such a grand house, we didn't have a huge amount of photographs to go on to understand what the original house looked like. We've probably got maybe a dozen good photographs of the original house. So with this, we know externally pretty mm-hmm. clearly what it looked like. Internally, it's we don't have huge amounts of evidence. 4 or 5 good photographs inside.
How strong was the old girl?
Oh, fantastically strong. I mean, she's survived incredibly well. There wasn't a stick of timber left in the house after the fire. I mean, we're talking comprehensive destruction of the house.
It was fierce.
Completely a fierce, fierce fire. So the stonework... The stonework was damaged as a result of the fire because there was so much timber within the house. And it's interesting to reflect back on Notre Dame, because the difference with Notre Dame was they sprayed a lot of water on the fire and the stone would have been badly fractured. At Marble Hill, there was no opportunity to fight the fire. They basically just had to let it burn out. There was nothing to fight the fire with.
Right.
The governor was in residence with some guests over Christmas and into the new year, and the fire broke out on New Year's Eve. The governor and his guests and the staff took refuge and thankfully survived the fire, but only just in the circumstances. They had to let the house burn effectively. There's a story about how they'd gone down into the basement of the house where there was whiskey stored and the bottles were exploding in the fire, and they knew, you know, at that time it was time to get out of the house because the fire raged around and totally...
Well, so they sought refuge in the cellar.
Well, I think they'd opened the cellar door and could hear exploding bottles of whiskey.
Oh,
so
I
think there was a sign that perhaps it wasn't worth staying any longer.
That's not going to work. Let's get out
of the house. So they took refuge. So they tried to escape, and they drove down the driveway, couldn't get out in the local area, and they came back to the house and took refuge in the grounds and survived.
Right. It was a bushfire?
It was a major bushfire, yes,
yeah.
In 1955.
I think the next big one would have been Ash Wednesday around about 1980, and then again in 1983.
Absolutely.
So that was it was a bushfire. It caught... It set the governor's summer residence alight, and it was just burnt to the ground.
Yes.
I say burnt to the ground, but you still had this magnificent ruin. So you turn up about 5 or 6 years ago and you're faced with this magnificent ruin.
Mm.
Did you think, I don't know, what this is going to cost us a fortune, it's not practical, or did you think, no, I know where to start with this, we can do this?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, there's always, where there's a way, there's a means, and it was always conceivable to do it. It obviously, it comes down to money. It's a bit like Notre Dame, isn't it, really? You know, if you've got...
How much money you got?
Yeah, well, we've obviously have to be careful, and we've worked very, very closely with the client and an excellent builder and such a good team of people working on site on this project. I mean, it's a wonderful client to work for because they understand the need to reconstruct the house true to its original conception, and it's the best possible materials and the highest levels of craftsmanship. So it's a privilege to work on the building.
Yeah, well, I feel all kind of Kevin MacLeod at this point. I mean, you'd have to seriously love the building and the history to want to invest that much money.
Oh, yeah.
It must have cost them an absolute motzer. It's a They want to build something that will be there for generations.
It's a legacy.
Yeah, yeah. Keith has called from Marion. We're talking to Ian Hamilton. Ian has been working on the restoration of the governor's summer residence, that's Marble Hill, which was destroyed in the bushfire in 1955. Hello, Keith.
Hi.
Keith, what are you thinking?
My late father-in-law was a footman at Government House, and was sent up to Marble Hill 2 weeks before the fire and worked there for a couple of weeks. We took him, and he was there when the fire happened, and he sheltered with all the staff under blankets in the driveway with the governor.
Wow.
And we took him back there about 15 years back, I think, one of the National Trust open days, and walked through the ruins. And he only ever accessed a couple of rooms, so he only had memories of several rooms because he wasn't allowed anywhere else in the house.
He was a footman.
But yeah, it was very fascinating. And he met with the historical people then and I think handed over a few photos and things. But, yeah, he passed away last year. So.
Oh. Well, it would have been lovely if he could have come back and actually seen it restored to its former glory. Thank you, Keith. Now, will the public have access to this building once it's finally finished? Because the government sold it on the promise they'd restore it. The new owners have almost finished. Mm-hmm. But will the public get access?
Well, the house is almost finished externally. It's still to be fitted out internally because it's obviously still extremely damp from having been left exposed to the weather. So it may take another year, couple of years to get the internal fit out done. As far as access is concerned, the heritage agreement required that the public get access for 7 days of the year to the grounds, not inside the house because it's privately owned. Only by invitation, obviously. And so, yes, there'll be a perfect opportunity to see the house in its context, what it would have looked like.
And I wonder when that will happen.
There are picnics regularly. The Michelles are very good at holding picnics up at Marble Hill. If you look out for the, you know, when it's advertised, you can, they've regularly held events up at Marble Hill, seven days throughout the year for the last number of years, and those will continue. So there's always good opportunities to go up.
That's fantastic. Well, Ian, congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you.
And I think we're going to tweet some pictures. We've got some pictures of Marble Hill before and after. We'll put that up on our social media. That's Twitter and Facebook as well. So you can see what we've been talking about. Ian Hamilton, Director of RQ8 Architecture, thank you for coming in.
No problem, David. Thank you.